Hi, this is Jordan.
This is Emmy.
And this is Stevie.
And you're listening to Death in the Northwest, a podcast where three teachers talk about gruesome murders in the evenings and hang out with sweet, sweet Bibbons. Little monsters.
I was going to say, mine aren't even that little. Mine are kind of big.
Baby monsters. I have baby monsters. Preschool.
We really span the primary age group.
We do, yeah. I'm like in the middle. We got some pre-K on one side and a fourth grader on the other.
Fifth. I teach fifth grade this year.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah.
Fifth grade now. Let's do a hypothetical. Say you come over to my house and you need to use the bathroom and you walk into my bedroom on accident and there's just a framed photo of your child on my nightstand. No other pictures in the room. Just a framed photo of your child.
I'd kill you. I would straight up kill you.
Really?
Like, why? That's creepy. Get my child friend. Off of your wall. No. No,
I would want to know like how close we are.
Jordan woke up and chose violence.
creepy. Okay. It's like, why? What are you? What else are you hiding? Is there a dungeon with more pictures of other kids or my kid? Don't trust you.
I mean, I guess
Jordan, you're gonna make some kids so smothered someday.
Oh, that's so funny. Okay.
Hypothetical is that. We're exactly the same level of friends that we are right now. We're all good friends and we care about each other and we love each other. But would you still invite me to would you still invite someone to functions at your house if every time they came, they tried to sell Amway vitamins to the people at your party? they used it like kind of low key as like a sales pitch night where they'd be like, oh, these people here, time for me to like sell my pyramid scheme.
I was gonna say, but it's definitely a pyramid scheme. It's
definitely a pyramid scheme.
I mean, I would have to. I would definitely.
Not invite you over to
Jordan. I'm trying to
I am not going to stop. Even if you're like our friendship, like I'm not gonna stop. And it's not because I don't want to, it's because I can't.
I would feel like I couldn't put my other friends and guests
through that,
no matter how much I love you. So we would just have a lot of one-on-one time.
Okay, because when we're one-on-one, I don't try to sell you Amway vitamins.
Okay, we love that.
Okay, cool.
If you could eat only the same breakfast, the same lunch, and the same dinner every day, what three meals would you choose?
Man.
Okay, I can do this. Are you ready? I would choose for breakfast.
And the same snack, like snack too. Like snack time.
Okay. That one's harder. I would do snacks. I love snacks. For breakfast, I would do potatoes O'Brien. There's no way you can even ever get sick of potatoes. Potatoes O'Brien, bacon.
Is he related to that guy who was just in the Taylor Swift video?
that is a wild, wild, wild similarity, okay? Just because I love Dylan O'Brien. Dylan O'Brien, if you're listening to this. I love you so much. No, there's no... I loved Potatoes O'Brien before Dylan O'Brien, okay?
Okay, gotcha. I'm glad you're potatoes a purist. You remember where you came from. Stick to your roots, kid.
Okay, you know what? I'm just going to say potatoes with peppers and onions. Is that better? Does that make me sound less of a psycho? Yeah. even though the technical name is a brine. Anyways, so potatoes, hash browns with mm-hmm. bacon and I do like a kale and broccoli. It sounds really weird, but like kale and broccoli, like sauteed, and then you mm-hmm. put it on the potatoes and then a fried egg on top.
Ooh, yeah.
So good. Breakfast. Boom. Lunch would be like, could I pick sushi? Because I could change up the sushi. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Okay. Sushi. And then dinner would be pizza salad combo, because you can also change those up.
Yep.
Oh, that's pretty good. Okay, so really what this ends up being then is this is just to figure out what are the most versatile foods, not what would you eat if you had one food to eat. So I don't think we're sticking to the heart of what this is about, okay?
I don't like not having options. Well, but for snack, I'd pick popcorn.
Oh, I was also going to say popcorn.
Did you say ew?
Yeah, Jordan, what the fuck is wrong with you? What are you talking about?
The kernels in your teeth and it's awful.
Have you ever put nutritional yeast on popcorn? That's what we do where I grew up. And it's so good.
Okay, Emmy, what would you do?
Well, okay, well, which scenario are we sticking by?
Okay, don't do my scenario because I obviously didn't listen to the rules. But
okay. I'm stressed out now, guys. No, I'm not. Okay. Okay. If we could have one breakfast, it would probably be breakfast burrito.
Oh my god, that's a good one.
And if I could have one lunch, it would be Chinese style lettuce cup wraps with the chicken and the cashews.
Oh, like PF Chang's.
Yes. And then for dinner, oh man. I guess, you know what, if it has to be something I would never get not into, but also, like, it would make me so unhealthy, it would have to be hot dogs. I love
hot dogs. Why? I mean, like, I do love Seattle dogs.
But... hot dogs.
Okay.
I could eat a hot dog every meal and never get sick of it. I fucking love hot dogs. Okay, what about you, Jordan?
Okay, I would do rustic sourdough bread with avocado toast and a poached egg and some everything bagel seasoning and a little of Nando's hot sauce. That's my breakfast.
You're such a millennial.
Jesus, you've really thought this one through.
And then my lunch, I would do the Nordstrom club sandwich with a side of the French onion soup.
Oh,
French. And then for dinner... I would do tacos with guacamole and salsa.
You've really thought this through.
Can we add a beverage?
Sure.
Because the cucumber gin whatever from the Nordstrom Cafe.
Is it good?
But are you just getting fucked up
all the time for the rest of your life every time you're thirsty?
No, you don't have to drink. No, you don't have.
You get water. Let's say you get water.
You get one alcoholic drink and you get water. Yeah. So you don't have to always drink the alcoholic drink. But if you wanted one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd honestly probably just go with like a gin and tonic. No. I get so sick of them sometimes.
I would do the bee's knees.
I'd probably do like Coors Light if I'm being honest.
I'm just going to do Rainier Tallboy.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, like, if it's the one thing I'm allowed to drink forever, like, I already don't get sick of constantly drinking light beer, so.
Okay, that was a good one, Jordan. I liked that.
That was fun.
Okay, should we get into this?
Yeah, let's get into it.
The story I'm going to be telling you today is about the Fly Creek Jane Doe. And this one's a little weird because there has been a breakthrough, but there are so many holes and so many unknowns that it is just, I don't know. I have gone through like 3 or 4 different articles and there is like different things on each one. So it's kind of, I'm going to do my best to put it all together in a way that makes sense, but it was there's a lot going on for how little we know about what happened.
Gotcha.
The story I have for you today is the story of the Fly Creek Jane Doe. And it starts out with a father and son get up one morning in February. It was 1980, and they decide to go panning for gold. But instead of gold, they find a human skull.
Oh.
So what do? They take, or they go to the Amboy police station, where they talk to the sheriff, and they're like, hey, we found human remains. You guys got to come check this out. So they take a team out there. They find, they see the skull, and then, which was like 200 feet away from the creek, and then about another 100 feet down, they find like her legs. And, or they, the only thing they couldn't find was a torso and her hands.
So was she pretty badly decomposed?
So at first they didn't really know. And again, this is in the 80s. Yeah. So think like technology, not great. So they take her remains back to the station. Because they didn't find a complete skeleton, and it was the 80s, and they didn't have the technology we have today, they could only determine that it was a young girl who had suffered a major trauma. That's all they really knew. They didn't know really anything else. The investigator on the case, her name is Lindsay Schultz. She was eventually able to make a facial reconstruction, and they sent out an image that they thought of, this is what she maybe looks like. And they sent it out. They heard nothing back from nobody, you know, there was no information from anybody. And it was unlikely, because they really, all they had was a somewhat rendering, and that's
well,
really it.
Our cases really are kind of similar,
They're very similar. Yeah. But so they kept her remains. And then they sent them out to more labs for testing and seeing what they could find. Again, it was the 80s, not a lot to work with. Fast forward to almost 40 years later, the Clark Creek investigator, Lindsay Schultz, reaches out to a DNA tech company. And Emmy, I think you know what it's called. Parabon Nanolabs was able to put together another possible physical appearance of her. They used the size of her skull. They used other aspects like the muscle. They were able to depict that, like, she must have been, like, she must have played a sport.
Oh, interesting.
They concluded that she was probably around the age between 15 and 18, I believe. They sent out the phenotype to the public genetic genealogy database. And there they were able to make possible genetic matches.
I was going to say, so Parabon Nanolabs was not around in the 80s, though,
no,
right?
No, they weren't.
Okay. I was like, what would they even be doing back then? Just being like, oh, this looks like a suspicious footprint.
Exactly. No, they're back there with their monocles and like, no. So this was actually in 2019 that they found all this out. So they were able to make possible genetic matches.
That's crazy.
And during one of the many cold calls that Detective Schultz made, they got in touch with a woman who immediately knew who they were talking about. And she was like, oh, you're calling about my cousin Sandy. And they were like, oh my God, she has a name. So her name was Sandra Renee Morden, otherwise known as Sandy. She was born on April 29th, 1962 in San Francisco. Her parents were Andrew Morden and Catherine Long, and she had no siblings. The detective believes that Sandy was in the foster care system or some kind of, see, this is where it gets a little wishy-washy, because there's a couple, there's an article that says, there's an article that says that she was possibly in the foster care system. And then there's another one that says after her parents split up, which they did, mom left and she stayed with dad. Mm-hmm. But we're not, there's literally her, the cousin that I spoke of earlier, mm-hmm. it wasn't like a close knit family, it sounds like. So she's like, I don't know.
She has some very like outside, or like not, she doesn't have the inside information.
Yeah, exactly. And so they think maybe she might have been in the foster care system. Maybe not. She was definitely a latchkey kid. She was very mm-hmm. like undersupervised, kind of, you know, mm-hmm. do what you want. I'm busy. Dad worked on tugboats. Mom, I guess, kind of like fell off the face of the earth after her parents split, which is kind of weird, which kind of makes me think, that's weird. So after they split, they moved to Portland. And that's, you know, she's leaving.
Where this all happened.
Yes. Yep. So here's a couple weird things about it. So we know who she is now. We know a little bit of background behind it, like who she was.
Well, are her parents still alive?
So this is the thing. This is the thing. 10 years after Sandy went missing, mom died January 26th in 1988. Her grandmother died February 26th, 1999. And then her dad died July 27th, 1999. So I don't know. That's probably means nothing, but just those dates all sound so, I mean, they're similar. And then her birthday is April 29th. I don't know. It was just, it just sounded weird.
Too many commonalities. But,
yeah, that's weird.
So there's another really weird thing. Her mom posted, mind you, they're separated. Mom kind of fell off the face of the earth. Like, her mom made a post in the Oregon, one of the Oregon papers, like a little small town paper, for her birthday.
Oh.
And it was kind of like a, like,
come home.
No, she wasn't gone yet. It was right before she passed away, or it was right before she disappeared. The, the little birthday note said, Sandra Renee Morden, happy 15th birthday. Love always, mom. and then she disappeared. It's really weird. So then 3 years later, she was found.
Think mom had something to do with it?
Well, I don't know. So it's kind of one of those things where the family, like the relatives that they were able to get a hold of, was like, oh, well, she was living with mom for a minute, and then she was living with her dad, but her dad's a tugboat, works on tugboats, and is gone for extended periods of time, so she was kind of on her own. But then now you hear that, like, she was in the foster care system, so I don't really know what to believe at this mm-hmm. point. But there was also there's no National Crime Info Center at that time either. So even if she was missing, which they believe that she wasn't even reported missing. Wow. She may have not been reported at all, because dad came home and was when after a extended work trip, and she was just gone. And it says here that he was like, oh, she probably ran off with her mom. So I think either mom and dad or one or the other had something to do with it, or they're just so checked out, don't give a shit, that something terrible happened to this girl because of their lack of supervision and care. Yeah. And it says here, dad came home from an extended work trip and she was gone. He thought she ran off with mom. Parents didn't speak to each other. That's the other thing. They got divorced. It wasn't good. They split up. They didn't speak. And so the family believes that she was either with the mom or with the dad. I know. It's very, the whole thing is very wishy-washy, you know? Schultz said there was nothing that stood out about Sandy. She was never in trouble with the law. She, you know, presumably was a good kid. And so that makes it really difficult too, because, I mean, she never did anything. You know, they think she was in school in May of 77, but they don't know whether she was there or not. See, it's really weird. I just don't understand all these. Maybe it's just like what about this? And they're like, I don't know. Well, was she here? I don't know. Nobody, it just feels like too much for nobody to know anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody's got to know. Like we said, somebody's got to know something.
And, like, is a teacher missing her?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly. And so,
like, if she was in school and one of my students dropped out, I'd tell someone, mm-hmm. I think.
Detective Schultz is very much like, you know, like what you just said. There is somebody that knows her, that knew her. She, you know, was a young girl. She had friends. She had teachers. And she's, her main thing is she's like, I want to talk to that person. That person that hung out with her, that was her classmate, that knew something, anything about her. Because right now, this, it could go in any direction, you know? They literally found remains by the creek.
Yeah.
And they think she went missing between this time and this time, but they don't really know when. And dad was off. I guess his alibi is he was literally working on a tugboat. But so it says the parents aren't suspects, but there's very little info about mom. Like they can't, there's nothing. Like she moved, she went back to San Francisco, and there's nothing about her. They can't really find anything. And then she died, grandma died, dad died. So now she's only survived by, like, cousins.
Yeah.
So
who didn't really know her.
Who didn't, yeah, right? Who didn't really, it doesn't sound like that they were, it wasn't like a let's all get together for a family reunion type of family, you know? So, yeah, it's really, it's hard because even now, like 40 years later, this is such a big breakthrough, you know? 40 years yeah. later, we finally know who she is, and we still don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's only half satisfying.
It's only half, you know? Satisfying, yes. Same concept with Emmy's. I'm going to post some pictures of her. And then there's also, if you have any information at all, you can contact Detective Lindsay Schultz at lindsay.schultz@clark.wa.gov, or you can call the Clark County Sheriff's Office at 360-397-2036. And whether you were her classmate or you... any no detail is too small. They are still actively working on this case. Even though it is considered a cold case still, even though we know who she is now, we know what mm-hmm. she looked like, they still just have no idea what happened to her, which is
so
bizarre.
Sad.
It's crazy.
Really sad.
Yeah.
She deserves like some rest in that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She definitely does.
Know what happened.
Some closure.
Get her story out there.
It does. The thing that really stands out to me, though, is, I mean, like, if you're a detective, you're usually really good at what you do, and you know what you're doing, and you have inklings. And the fact that she can't get the birthday post out of her mind.
Yeah.
I wrote this down because it was a direct quote, and it says, it was a mom who loved her daughter, or did her mom know something and put it out there for that reason?
Mm-hmm.
And she said it's one of those two, right? You ponder it, you look at it, and you think, what does it mean? Like, why now? Why? Yeah.
What does it mean?
Exactly. What does it mean? right underneath it, because it has like a little picture of the birthday message. Right underneath it, it says, there's a message that says, share, all caps, your problems with someone who cares. Now I'm just looking into everything. I'm like, oh, what is this?
No,
mean?
I know. I get it.
Yeah. Also, just a fun little fact, the father and son at the beginning of the story were Jack D. Bannister and his son Jack P. Bannister.
Bannister. What a great last name.
Jackie D and Jackie P. Little Jackie P.
Bannister.
Bannister. Yeah. That's,
I love it.
The strong name. Yeah, so that's all I got for you. I, too, have a Google alert just in case. Because literally, this just actually came
perfect.
Out
yeah.
a little over two years ago. Right? Let me, 2019. October 2019. So.
Hell yeah.
There's still more to learn, and I have every faith that they'll figure it out because they have to for her sake.
I sure hope so. And if you'd like to, you know, be updated whenever we do update anything, you can follow us on Instagram at
Death and the NW Podcast.
You can go on Facebook and like one of our posts from 9 years ago at
Death and the NW Podcast.
We've only been around for like a year and a half, so that's not going to happen. And if you want to send us some hate mail,
oh my God,
you can get us up at
Emmy Schwartz at hotmail.com.
That was good. That was
No. That was really good. In the nwpodcast@gmail.com.
Correct. And then after that, we're going to do hometown murders.
Ooh, I got a doozy for you guys.
I'm excited.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, it's been fun, and I will see you next week.
Bye.
Love you, bye.
Bye. Love you,
bye.